Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
I read an article by Joe Carson, written October 12th, about the Clinton and Trump visions, the economic policy visions. Now, Joe doesn't really give an opinion about one or the other in terms of he's not driving us to agree with one or the other, but rather gives an overview, just an assessment. And this is for essentially for an investment firm. You know, investment firms have investments from, can you believe this, both Democrats and Republicans? I know. Isn't that unbelievable? So as a result, they don't want to ever come across like they're ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, or Fox for that matter, right? Because they don't want to turn off their investors on political preference. So what I want to present to you is similar. I want to present to you that both U.S. presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, have presented their economic proposals to voters. Now, it's not always clear what those are for all the fracking that goes on between the two of them on stage or over the radio or that kind of thing. So that's why I feel like it's good for us to step back and to discuss this today. And I value your feedback. If you have feedback, I want to encourage you. You can send it to us at radio@ericstewartgroup.com. How could each of these platforms impact the U.S. economy if they come to pass? Because the economic policy visions of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Republican challenger Donald Trump are very different in both scale and scope. And in the end, the success or failure of either proposal depends on how it's translated into policy or not by working with Congress. So let's look at how the stated proposals could impact our economy and what are their odds of being enacted. Let's look at Clinton's economic plan first. The economic plan of Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton is multifaceted. It's modest in its overall scale. The plan itself is modest in its overall scale. The tax proposals would raise an estimated $1.1 trillion in new revenue over a 10-year period. Now, what strikes me about that is raising $1.1 trillion over 10 years means we would retire 1/20th of the debt that we now carry, which I'm just saying for myself, that's not very much, considering in 8 years we've doubled the national debt to almost $20 trillion. Agreed? Okay, now this revenue would help fund a wide range of programs and initiatives. So this is not removing the debt. It's actually so more can be spent, including infrastructure, which is $300 billion over 5 years, clean energy, education, healthcare, and childcare. The changes in Secretary Clinton's tax plan focus mainly on upper-income families. The plan includes a proposed 4% surcharge on income over $5 million, and a required floor of 30% in federal taxes for incomes over $1 million. The plan would also increase the required holding period to qualify for the lower long-term capital gains tax. Estate tax exemptions would be reduced from the current $10.9 million to just $7 million for a married couple. According to estimates from the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center, 95% of all taxpayers would see almost no change in their tax liability based on her plan. On the corporate side, Clinton would impose an exit tax on companies that attempt to relocate outside the U.S. The proposal also calls for rule changes that would make it harder for corporations to employ tax inversion, shifting legal domicile in order to reduce taxes, and would limit the deductibility of interest as a tool to lower tax bills. Clinton would pursue a plan to create an easier path to citizenship for illegal immigrants living in the United States in terms of foreign trade. She plans to rework the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or called the TPP. You've probably heard about that trade agreement that the current administration has negotiated. Clinton would also continue the regulatory policies of the Environmental Protection Agency, maintain strict regulations and capital standards for the financial sector, and include a public option for healthcare. And the bottom line, if the economy's number one problem is low growth, this balanced program of tax and spending increases would not do much to lift that lack of demand. because private sector activity would likely be reduced by roughly the same amount as public sector demand would be increased. However, if the main problem is income and wealth inequality, this plan would seem to provide some remedy if the main problem is income and wealth inequality, which, from my perspective, since owning real estate for the average consumers requires having a job, you have to actually have work in order to be able to pay for the mortgage on the property that you wish to purchase, you need to have employment, right? You need to actually have work to do that. And since the working environment has just been muddling along nationally, I don't see anything really startling here, any major catalyst to changing things. In fact, I see us continue with the spending. Yes, I see an increase in taxes essentially to cover the new expenditures, but I don't see anything here that would change the current expenditure environment that we have and really cause the kind of growth that would help our national debt or really feed the overall economy. And for our local real estate economy, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, we're so much based upon the federal government, I think there could potentially be some upside with Clinton's election, because I think that she would continue, again, with the expenditures, which have impact on us. And through sequestration since 2013, we've seen lackluster growth. A lot of the Beltway employees that are underwritten by expenditures coming out of the federal government have had to cut back. And you've seen jobs go elsewhere. And as a result, a lot of the real estate further outreaches in other areas in the Washington, D.C. area has languished. In Potomac, Maryland, I showed a home last week in Potomac, Maryland, that's probably off of its high of 2006-2007 by 30%, maybe 35%. Seriously. Because the market has not returned. Now, there are other factors there, like people buying into the city, that kind of thing. But still, Potomac is only 35 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. And as a result, it presents a very compelling bargain, in my opinion, in real estate. If you're in the district, you're thinking about moving, you're in a two-bedroom condo that's gone up from 400 to 700 off U Street or H Street or wherever you might be, you should consider, if you have the need to have more space, consider Potomac, Maryland. Consider parts of Herndon. Consider parts of Great Falls. My goodness, Great Fall prices, same thing. You've got houses there that are still off their highs of 35% off the highs of 2007. And that's presenting a compelling opportunity. So I don't see job growth in her plan. I see spending growth and making the richer pay for that. So I want to spend more. I'm going to have the richer pay for it. And whether you agree or disagree with that concept, that's ultimately what I read in her economic policy. Now, let's look at Trump's, okay? So he has a very ambitious plan, but trade is at risk. Trump's economic plan is expansive, but its balance is the big question mark. And this is the uncertainty of it. And this is why he's being called into question, because he's willing to take risks here that Hillary's not, and frankly, other presidents have not for a long time. And with great change, you must take great risks. But with risk comes reward and obviously the challenge and the potential challenge of failure. So the main cog in his plan is a big, broad-based tax cut. The tax plan is estimated to reduce federal revenue by $9.5 trillion over a 10-year period. So reducing revenue by $9.5 trillion over a 10-year period means we're bringing in that much less based upon the current economic cycle that we're in right now, the amount of income that people are making and are paying in taxes to the federal government. This proposal would consolidate the current seven tax brackets into just three: 10%, 15%, and 25%, and it would eliminate both the alternative minimum tax and the estate tax. According to analysis by the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center, upper-income taxpayers would see a smaller overall tax bill. 45% of all taxpayers would see little or no change in their tax liability, and partly because so many of the lower-income taxpayers, they pay almost no tax. whereas the upper brackets typically pay more tax. In fact, the whole issue of fairness to me is a big question mark. I think you may know what I mean. For the business sector, Trump has proposed a reduction of the top corporate tax bracket from 35% to just 15% and the elimination of a wide range of business deductions, meaning you can't write off as many things as you used to. Wide range means a lot of business deductions would be eliminated, but the overall tax rate would drop. And you and I both know, you raise the taxes and you give away deductions, then the smart people are going to create opportunities to use the deductions to pay little or no tax, right? Well, I got to take a quick break. I know you want to continue, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.